This is an interview with Herman Ossuk on July 11th, 2008. Did I say your last name right?
Yeah, Ossuk. Yes. Pretty close.
So, could you say again which trail you used?
I was on Trail 7 with Jake Adams, Jonathan Aiken, and Oliver DeWitt.
And what was the trail conditions like along that trail?
The first mile and a half was the short fast ice, which was pretty thick, probably 4 feet. And then right about in the middle, which was about probably three and a half miles out, there was young ice and it was like 4 inches thick. But when we got near the lead, right at the lead, there was multi-year ice that was connected with the young ice, which was about 4 or 5 feet thick. Mm. Thick enough to pull up the whales that we were trying to hunt.
Mm. Can you see the multi-year ice in this picture? This is from May 22nd, so it's not, it may not necessarily be taken at the time that you are remembering. But so the multi-year ice would be
right at the lead.
So this area here?
Yep. That would be the multi-years. I don't think the short fast size was multi-year, though, but it was pretty thick.
And were you guys also camped at the edge of that? I spoke with Jacob Adams this morning, and he was talking about how there was really thin, flat ice at the edge.
There was, where we were, some thick ice. It was just connected with the thin.
But then the multi-year ice is out here.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
That's what it looked like to me anyway, was the multi-year.
Mm-hmm. And did you see any other multi-year ice in the landfast ice this year?
The main pack that I was passing by was pretty thick. Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily in the shore fast ice?
Not in the shore fast ice. Mm.
Yeah, I wanted to explain to you too that I have just a short list of questions, so I'll just go through this. I want to be somewhat consistent and ask everyone the same questions.
All right.
So, why did your crew choose to put your trail in this area here?
It was probably the flattest of the when we were looking at ice conditions by helicopter. Fastest meaning that it's the smoothest and you can run away. You have to run back to shore quickly. And you don't have to break too much to make the trail.
Did you guys have a designated spot to revert back to if the conditions are bad?
Probably about 3 miles in from the lead, or the safe, where we would consider ourselves being safe. Mm.
Is that where you kept your boats too?
The boats and tents, yeah.
So that would have been somewhere back in here.
Yeah.
So were your boats there at the same place that Jacob Adams had his?
Same place.
Yeah.
But during the middle part of the season, I moved my crew all the way to Ivox Trail, which is on number one.
Oh, okay. So when did you move your
probably May 10th, because we got the whale on May 11th.
Oh, so you guys just one day after?
So it was one day after moving north that we got the whale. Hmm.
And what was the reason that you moved?
Because of the how when it broke off, it would have been too rough to try to make a trail to get back by the water while we moved.
So it broke off and the ice came in.
It had broke off and try to make another trail would take too long because they would have been catching the whales while we were trying to break a trail back to the water.
Oh, okay.
Because it was so rough.
Yeah. But when it did break off, Was it just open, or did other ice come in?
It was open all the way.
Okay. But what? So why would you have needed to make? Oh, just a trail to a new camp. You mean?
A new trail to get back by the water, to put our boats by the water.
Oh, okay. I understand what you mean.
And Ibex Trail had already been made, and the day of the tent, we went to the guys that are furthest north, and we asked them if we can use the trail, and they said, go right ahead, and so we went right on trail number one. Mm.
So then your camp, your second camp, was out here somewhere?
Second camp was at trail number one.
And what were the ice conditions along this trail?
There was some places where there was some holes, probably in the middle of the trail, that you could see the water in. Mm-hmm. And when it started melting the next day, I mean, you could just see the holes already there. Mm-hmm. So there was some young ice also. And there was Aviganus Trail, which was like a roller coaster, was pretty bad. Their trail was like the roughest trail I ever seen in my lifetime.
Which trail is that?
Number two.
So, yeah. This one here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was on that. Oh, wait. Was this... This trail was put in early in the year, too, wasn't it?
Early in the year, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a rough trail. I went out there late in the season, too, with Perry. So then, did you see any... I mean, you mentioned weak spots or holes on this trail one, but what about... Did you notice that it was grounded well? Or?
It was grounded well.
Yeah.
And the ice that we put the whale on was probably multi-year ice that I was thinking about. Because we were able to get the whale up really quick.
How thick was that ice that you pulled the whale onto?
Probably 5 feet thick.
Oh, really?
6 feet, yeah. And I talked with other captains that moved same day we did, and they were talking to me, and they were telling me that they had finally seen that kind of ice for like after 5 or 6 years. Mm. The thickness of the ice. Mm. Where we were at, when we were by the lead.
And was that the multi-year ice that you mentioned at on trail 7 and on trail 1, had that been there throughout the winter, or is that ice had been brought in?
The ice had been brought in and then connected with the Torpass.
Do you know when that came in?
No.
Because that's one of the things that we're interested in is how and when that there's multi-year ice that comes into the shore ice and attaches. Because it's very difficult to see it in satellite images. If you know it's multi-year ice, you can find it, but if you don't know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
And in terms of building this trail on trail 7,
uh-huh.
You said that it was fairly
pretty
flat and straight.
Pretty flat and straight.
So how does the actual effort that goes into building the trail, how did this year compare to the type of trail building you usually do in the past?
It was the easiest that I can remember ever since I've been waiting.
Yeah.
It was good, but until it broke away.
Yeah. And that was on May 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you were actually early on in this trail, before you moved, what was your assessment on how safe it was?
We were a little bit uneasy being by the water when we notice the lemon ice right in the middle of it.
that real thin ice.
Yeah. I could poke a hole with my survival tool with my ice pick part.
Yeah. What side of those? Because on this trail, there's some fairly big ridges on here, right?
Uh-huh.
Was that on the coastal? Was that closer to the beach or closer to the lake?
Closer to the beach.
Okay. So on the land side of those ridges.
Yeah.
And then when you did switch to hunting up north on Trail 1, is there a reason that you chose to go up here?
The trail was already made, and we already had seek permission from the crew that made it.
Who is the captain of Ivac Trail? What's his name?
Joash Tookley.
Joash Tookley.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
I'm trying to remember what his house number was.
Yeah.
It's in the 1,000 block.
But he's in Barrow.
Yeah. He retired, though. He sold most of his gear already.
Oh. Yeah.
But you could talk with some of his men, I'm sure, that were building that trail.
So when you were out on the ice this year, either on this first trail or second one, did you ever have to pull back from your camp because of...
Yeah. On trail number 7, we pulled back probably 3 times. Mm. On trail 1, 2 times about.
And what were the reasons?
The ice that was coming back in. Mm. The main pack that was hitting back.
Which, yeah. But was that with a west wind?
Yeah.
Did you notice any, I know people have spoken about, when with a west wind you have an increase in the water level. Did you see any major increases in water level that would be considered dangerous when you were camped out?
I didn't really notice the water level. I was just concerned about the main pack. Mm-hmm.
So on trail 1, when you pulled back, how far did you guys?
We had to pull in quite a ways, probably about a mile from shore where we thought our gear would be safe. Because mm-hmm. Some of the ice that was passing by was pretty thick, pretty heavy and solid.
Yeah.
And then we tore it up really quick.
And when you got your whale, what was it like at the lead at that point? Was it? You said it was just solid.
Solid, yeah.
Good ice.
And it didn't move. Didn't change anyway.
Mm-hmm. And you think you guys actually pulled your whale up in multi-year ice?
Multi-year ice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That because if you said 5 feet, this first year ice, you know, that our site here, I think that the thickest we. Well, I'm not actually sure. I made a tenth what the thickness was, but that is about the maximum thickness because it was put in fairly early. Oh, first year ice. In general, how would you describe the landfast ice this year in terms of how stable it was? Just not necessarily talking about this trail or that trail, but just in general, but the entire coastline.
It's much thinner, and nowadays when it breaks away from the shore, it goes quicker. Because it usually would be the first, second week of July, and it would finally break from the soil. Notice it's a lot thinner, you know.
Yeah.
Each captain has their own idea of how the ice is, what he thought he saw, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hi Solomon.
Hi.
October. Yeah, I'm taking an interview really quick.
What about in terms of the ridges and how grounded they were this year?
Probably in the middle of the short fast ice, it was pretty grounded because it was pretty high. Some places it was 50 feet, at least 50 feet high. When you go up to them, it's way up there.
And do you know where exactly that was? Like those, like the highest ridges that really provide the most stability to this region here in this map. Do you know where that was approximately?
Probably up north, where we were at Trail 1.
Yeah.
Right about in the middle. When we were looking at them, some of it was pretty high.
And with, did you observe anything this year unusual with the winds or the currents?
When the current was taking the ice south, it was pretty strong. That's probably the only thing I noticed was when the ice was going south, it was going pretty fast.
When the ice was going south, yeah. And getting taken out?
Yeah, getting taken out.
Which was when? Just approximately.
Probably the first week of May.
First week of May.
Yeah.
When this opened up here?
When it first broke away.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean when it went out, when you were on this trail here?
When we were cutting the trail, we kept
looking
at the ice.
Was that a strong current or the winds?
It was a strong current.
Strong current.
Yeah. Close the door.
And did you notice at all this year on any of the times you were out there that there was the current was eroding the ice from beneath?
I don't think I really noticed much of that. Just when the young ice started melting, it melted pretty quick.
And then this question is not necessarily specific to this year, but in general, what conditions do you look for that would cause a breakout in the land fast ice?
The breakout would be the young ice that might be holding the thicker stuff. That's what we watch out for, so we won't get drifted away if the ice broke away. We try to avoid them spots. If we notice when we're making a trail, we notice that we go ahead and go start another trail at a different site.
Did you notice any of those weak spots on any of these trails, 7 or 1?
The reason that we went on 7 was because it was the flattest.
Yeah.
Even we knew there was the nice, you know, to have a quick getaway. You want to make your trail as straight as possible. Mm-hmm. So that's why we chose number 7, even though there was some young ice.
But in terms of, are there certain winds or certain currents or a combination of winds and currents that are really an indicator that it's time to leave the lead?
Probably when we have a current going south with the east wind is when we're really watching the ice.
The current going south with an east wind.
Parallel enough Pure water milk and the east winds.
Okay, so that's the time when it's...
That's the time when we really watch what we're on.
Is there anything else that that you'd like to add about just the general discussion?
We were just surprised how quickly the middle of our trail, mm-hmm. when it broke away, when we had that east wind and the south current, we were just watching it break piece by piece, and I was surprised how fast it was going.
Mm-hmm. And then that multi-race that you'd seen there, so that got taken out?
Taken out, yeah.
And that got taken off the south current, so that was ice that probably drifted down the coast.
Yeah.
So then, that's pretty much all of my questions. Although I want to ask, because this project is one where we're doing a lot of measurements out in the ice, and getting a lot of help from people, we want to continue to put together maps like this or provide any other information that is useful. And so I wanted to ask whether you had any suggestions on how either this map could be useful or other information would be useful because you already are pretty familiar with the stuff we're doing.
Yeah.
So is there anything that we could do differently that would be more useful?
Whatever you're doing is fine. I mean, going out and getting the thicknesses.
Yeah.
Interviewing the hunters that go out on there. I think one suggestion would be if you can talk with Carl Cuppy or Billy Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are the men in Barrow that go seal hunting quite a bit. And they're usually out there quite a bit, I mean, almost all year round. When the ice is here, they're usually seal hunting.
Yeah.
And them two would be the experts to talk with also.
Are they around?
Yeah. They're in town. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, I met Billy this year.
Okay.
He helped out a little bit when we did the trail you guys were on.
Yeah.
So we actually, I have all this thickness data. And I know, you know, these things, I realized that showing this to someone now is not really that useful because all the ice is gone.
Yeah.
So next year, what I would like to do is get this stuff to the landing crews, if they're interested, as soon as it's collected. It's a little difficult because it's a lot of computer work, but to get this stuff to people early on, it might be more useful. Because on this one, you can see like this area here, where you can see that the bottom of the ice comes all the way up to the water level. I think this was a crack. And so, just along the entire trail, it might be useful, or at least...
I'm sure the wind impact may be interested in some of that.
So I'll try to do that next year. I think next year I'll try to be up here for the whole season so I can do better work for that. And also we're going to put together a summary of our results. And I'm not sure when that'll be available, but when it is, I'll mail a copy to your address.
And when I go whaling nowadays with my crew, I try to stick with some of the elder whalers that know ice more than I do.
Yeah.
That's always helpful when you're by captains that are doing it for a long time.
And is it the same people every year that you try to go? Which are?
Jonathan Aiken Sr., he's one of the elder mining captains.
Yeah.
You know, he's been doing it all, so you try to follow the men that have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. And, that actually, I think, is a question I must have skipped, which was when you do decide where to go hunting, are there certain areas you typically go based on habit or tradition, or do you, is it different every year?
It's different every year, but we try to stay with the older waiters. Because, you know, we're still learning. We're still learning.
Yes.
Every year it's different than we got, you know, last year.
Well, thanks, Herman.
Wait.
Good day.